World War Z isn't just another zombie story. It's a harrowing examination of how modern society might collapse when faced with an undead pandemic. Through dozens of interviews spanning continents and social classes, we witness humanity's journey from denial to near extinction to eventual triumph. What makes this account so chilling isn't the zombies themselves, but how recognizable our institutional failures are. The military's reliance on high-tech weapons against an enemy immune to fear, governments choosing political expediency over public safety, and ordinary citizens clinging to normalcy even as the world crumbles, these feel uncomfortably plausible. Yet amid the horror emerges a testament to human resilience. How would you respond if the dead began to walk? The answer might reveal more about you than you'd care to know. It started in New Dachang, China, with a 12-year-old boy showing disturbing symptoms, gray skin, no pulse, and a severed arm that didn't impede movement. Dr. Kuang Jingshu attempted a blood sample, but extracted only brown, viscous matter. The boy had been moonfishing in flooded ruins, likely encountering the first zombie. The infection spread through multiple vectors. Brazilian surgeon Fernando Oliveira unknowingly transplanted infected organs from Chinese donors. Organs were a major vector for global transmission, he explains. Infection might take days or weeks, depending on which organ was transplanted. Human traffickers like Nuri Telavaldi smuggled infected Chinese citizens across borders, while some families transported infected relatives, hoping for cures abroad. Military encounters were dismissed or concealed. Canadian soldier Stanley MacDonald discovered a severed torso in Kyrgyzstan that continued moving and attempting to bite. His superiors labeled it PTSD rather than investigating. These incidents formed what intelligence analyst Jürgen Warmbrunn called a cohesive mosaic, revealing the truth. The subjects were dead, hostile, and spreading. When faced with the zombie threat, most governments chose denial over action. The CIA focused on clear and present dangers, while China disguised zombie containment as a Taiwan Strait crisis. American officials ignored warnings months before Israel went public and knew Phalanx was merely a placebo, but welcomed its calming effect. Mary Jo Miller exemplified pre-outbreak ignorance. I watched only 5 minutes of local headlines daily and used the internet primarily for shopping. Phalanx creator Breckinridge Scott exploited this mindset. Fear is the most valuable commodity in the universe. When denial crumbled, panic erupted. Pilot Gavin Blair witnessed endless highways of vehicles, many heading toward zombie-infested areas. At transportation hubs, boat captains demanded valuables, sometimes selecting only young women or light-skinned refugees. Churches offered no sanctuary. Sharon recounts zombies attacking during service, with Mrs. Cormode killing children rather than letting zombies take them. Military forces often abandoned civilians, like when Philip Adler received orders to withdraw from Hamburg without evacuating refugees. As containment failed, nations adopted Paul Redeker's controversial strategy, established defensible safe zones for some civilians while using others as human bait to distract zombies. Israel implemented first with a voluntary quarantine, many dismissed as a Zionist lie. Saladin Khader recalls his family's evacuation. At the border, dogs detected infected individuals. Those identified were taken away in black vans. Implementation required brutal choices. In India, Sardar Khan witnessed General Raj Singh sacrifice himself to detonate explosives blocking a mountain pass still filled with refugees. In Russia, Maria Zhuganova describes her unit facing the decimation. Soldiers in groups of 10 forced to vote on which would be executed. They held us together not just by fear, but by guilt. The moral burden devastated leaders. Philip Adler, planning to assassinate his superior after abandoning civilians in Hamburg, found the general had already committed suicide. Adler's contempt deepened. You have to make your own choices and live every day with the consequences. After catastrophic losses, humanity adapted. The Battle of Yonkers failed because weapons designed for human enemies proved ineffective against zombies. Todd Wainio explains, high explosives that devastate humans through balloon effect failed against zombies, whose gel-like fluids and lack of survival instinct made them immune. The turning point came with basic tactics. At Hope, New Mexico, soldiers formed rotating lines for continuous fire. Following Out G the G doctrine, one shot per second, they systematically eliminated zombies at marked ranges. Combat psychologists rotated exhausted soldiers for brief breaks. New weapons emerged specifically for zombie combat. Infantry rifles featured convertible configurations between sniper and close combat, plus emergency spikes. Their primary ammunition was NATO 5.56 Cherry Pie that shattered inside zombie skulls without spreading infection. Innovation spread widely. The Canine Corps selected puppies who could face zombies without losing control. Underwater combat required atmospheric diving suits with extended life support. Urban environments like Paris's underground demanded specialized tactics, fighting in darkness with limited visibility, toxic air, and weapons that wouldn't ignite gases. The zombie war fundamentally reshaped global society. America's workforce underwent radical restructuring. Former entertainment professionals found satisfaction in practical roles, like the advertising executive who became a chimney sweep. Resource allocation became the central organizing principle, with California's agriculture restructured for efficiency. Democratic institutions persisted despite the chaos. The American vice president explained, "We aren't just fighting for physical survival, but for the survival of our civilization." The administration implemented controversial policies like public punishment, stocks and whippings instead of imprisonment, proving effective through humiliation. Cuba transformed dramatically, with Sergio Garcia Alvarez declaring, "Cuba won the zombie war." Refugees in quarantine resettlement centers worked 12, 14-hour days regardless of previous status, sparking economic reforms, privately owned media, and eventually democracy, with Castro presiding over Cuba's first free elections. Russia evolved into a religious state after Father Sergei Ryzhkov's final purification movement, where only priests would release trapped souls from the infected. This religious revival led to Russia reabsorbing former Soviet republics into a holy Russian Empire. 10 years after victory in China Day, humanity continues reclaiming the planet. The American president argued that defensive strategies had damaged the human spirit. They needed to reclaim the world to prove they could. The offensive faced unique challenges. Zombies needed no supplies or leadership and expanded by thinning human forces. Todd Wainio describes threats during the New York campaign. Fly-ins, oversized feral lions, ferals, humans gone wild, quislings, humans believing they were zombies, and llamos, territorial survivors. Winter froze zombies temporarily until spring thaws. Liberating isolated zones proved difficult, with survivors often reacting with anger or rejecting help. The psychological toll persists. Todd still loses it sometimes from triggering smells or songs. His most vivid memory became the national victory symbol, watching dawn break over New York on VA Day, with no cheering as peace seemed unreal. Despite everything, hope emerges. Dr. Quang finds comfort in post-war children. They know not to play near water or go out alone after dark, but they don't know to be afraid. Perhaps our greatest victory is that we can still believe everything might be all right.